excellently weather today. Highs of 13 degrees centigrade, lows of 10 degrees centigrade, a rather cloudy day with showers expected. Well, one thing you can always guarantee with respect to showers, they're never present when we have the delightful, wonderful magic of Elizabeth Ato online. Isn't that right, Liz?
Oh, yeah, I wish that was the case.
It is. What's the weather like in London this morning?
Actually, it's a lovely day. It's a bit chilly, but it's nice and blue skies amongst a bit of cloud, but at least the sun is trying to come through, which is always good.
Splendid. Excellent. OK, well, in the studio, quick introduction, we've got Eva MacDonald, who's our ace co-presenter and indeed currently holder of the Miss Teen UK title.
Hello, Eva.
Hello.
And we also have Dave Kenyon, who is one of the fine folk behind the Boole Foundation. In fact, the main driving force behind the Boole Foundation, that's following on from George Boole, one of Lincoln's finest sons, of course, and a mathematician, self-taught, who went on to create all manner of marvellous things, including Boolean logic. Is that a fair summation, Dave?
A very good summation, yes. Right. And he was good to his daughters as well.
Five
daughters he had.
If he'd been around today, he doubtless would have been asking for media ambitions to actually promote his various work, etc. Because Liz takes everything on board from the point of view of oral health month, hygiene, and so on. So Liz, has been so long since we actually last spoke. I thought, you know, I felt guilty because we just thought, what's been happening with respect to media ambitions and the fabulous work you've been doing with the company and so on?
Well, we've just been carrying on doing more of the same, really. We're a PR company based in London, so we're always either promoting books or DVDs or one of our big campaigns at the moment, as you said, is for a charity called the Mouth Cancer Foundation. Mouth Cancer Action Month is coming up in November, and we've just launched a big new self-checking initiative for them called Bite Back at Mouth Cancer. And that's been quite well received so far, so we're just going to carry on promoting that throughout Mouth Cancer Action Month.
And obviously we did a feature with Dawn Harper that you can download and listen to again on podcast a few weeks back. Dawn Harper from, of course, Embarrassing Bodies, Dr. Dawn Harper, and so on. Was she happy with the interview, by the way? Because, I mean, I'm often sort of interested in terms of when you guys within the PR agency set up these things with radio stations across the land. And I was thinking, do you ever get the line saying, never put me in touch with that radio station or that person ever again? Never, you know, etc.
We do occasionally get that, but not very often. I mean, Dawn was amazing and she's done a lot for the campaign. Having her profile attached to it has actually really helped. And it's also, mouth cancer is something that people often associate with you find out if you go to your dentist. But with Dawn being a GP, she's, you know, raised awareness in that whole sector as well. So that's been really good for us.
I think I'm always impressed.
Like your radio.
Good heavens, just bursting in there. You know, suddenly you think, what's happening? And suddenly a jingle emerges as if from nowhere. It's the way of Boole. That's my line. In terms of the...
Alex, don't worry.
Sorry, Dave?
You'll get the hang of it,
yeah,
don't worry.
Yeah, it's true. I just press the button, hope for the best. One of the things which is quite interesting, Dawn, is you do have a very ethical point in terms of the campaigns you're likely to support. And it does tend to sort of vary. I mean clearly in the past we've worked with fine folk from the Nolan and Colleen Nolan, of course, Rosemary Conley was a key sort of person. In fact, you know, somehow I felt the year wasn't the year unless we started off with another Rosemary Conley fitness scenario in January and so on. But it is something in terms of selecting the clientele you work with. I mean, I'm always very impressed, Liz, because there are some agencies, no names, but you just think, ooh, not sure whether they're, I mean, or unless they see it as a challenge when they take on a client. I think, well, this is really challenging to actually promote a positive image, and maybe they've been brought on far too late.
I find it really hard to promote something that I don't wholeheartedly believe in or agree with. And that you can often tell when that's the case. You know, you can tell when companies are just, you know, PR agencies are trying to really plug something and flog it to death, but don't really, you know, aren't passionate about it or don't care about it. You know, we try to. I mean, it's very hard, obviously, when some big companies have got deep pockets. You know, it's very hard for PR companies to turn that work away. And they often will just take it on purely for that reason. But, you know, it's a fine line, really.
Indeed. Now, the CIPR, the Chartered Institute of Public Relations, getting its royal charter a few years ago, of course, founded, of course, in the 1940s. We're citing that because clearly within the subject of public relations, which, of course, you can study as a single honour student at the University of Lincoln, or indeed joint with journalism at the School of English and Journalism. Sorry, it's a classic plug there, Liz, which we have to work through. In fact, one of our graduates who was actually doing the communications and public relations course ended up doing some fine stuff with you, I believe.
Yes, he did, Catherine. That was a while back now.
Catherine Platt, indeed.
Yeah. So, yeah, she did really well.
Great stuff from that. Do you think that public relations is, I mean, because of its organisations, etc., that there is more of an attempt to give it much more professionalism and credibility? And I mean, the whole notion of a chartered institute, are we looking down those lines where you're looking very much at the profession of public relations rather than the craft of public relations? Or is it both that you still need?
I think you probably need both. I don't think you have to be a member of institutes like that. I guess it's your way of putting your hand up and saying, you know, this is what we do and we're a member of this. But, I mean, you often pay hefty fees to be members of these organisations. You don't have to really have any qualifications as such to be a part of them. You just pay a membership fee and that's it. But it's a way of networking. It's a body you can turn to for help, I guess, at times as well.
It's a debate which will continue to run and run. Dave, have you got any questions or thoughts you want to put to Elizabeth Ato?
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
I don't know about you, but I think you can never ditch the craft from any profession, can you?
No, I agree with that.
Well, short and sweet, to the point there. Has nailed that sucker right to the wall. Eva?
Yeah, I think a lot of things that you get from crafts from professions.
Let's just move you close to one of the micro. You've got two choices there, Eva. Let's just move you close to that one.
Can you hear me?
Much
better. Yeah, I can hear you. Fine.
And crafts from professions, it does stay with you. So it stays with you over time. And
of course.
I mean, my suggestion to anybody really wanting to get into media or PR, you know, get a good solid education. You could always do. You don't necessarily have to do a PR degree or communications degree. There are other entries into it. There are advantages and disadvantages of doing, you know, any sort of course, really, I guess. If you came to PR through having a history degree or something else and you've done a career change, it still shows you've got a certain academic standard behind you, and then, you know, you can learn on the job as well. And then there's obviously advantages of doing courses like you run at your university, where you're getting some sort of inside knowledge at an earlier age, I guess. And through that, you can do work placements, I would imagine, and that kind of thing. So that's also another way. They're just two different ways to get into the industry. But, I mean, a good solid education really is fundamentally what you need, and a bit of common sense.
And, of course, your own journey took you from the world of journalism to what many people have described as the dark arts. I hesitate, not myself, but, you know, it's a way forward. When Rosemary Conley can actually turn around and say, Elizabeth Ato Laverick is dynamic. Since appointing Media Ambitions as our PR company, we've achieved more press and TV coverage than ever before. They are great people and fun to work with. Tanya Zeta, TV presenter and actress, Media Ambitions is the hardest working PR company in Europe.
Yeah, we do work quite hard for our clients. They get their money's worth.
It says it all. That's the whole thing. I mean, I'm interested by Yoga Haven, actually. I'll have to look at the Yoga Haven sort of piece, because that's a different line entirely. Who would have thought, founded in 2002, the turn of the century, and here we are, second decade, still thriving. Liz, it's been splendiferous as ever. Have you had a reasonably interesting link with us on the programme this morning?
I've had a great time, as always. Thank you.
And you see, she's such a wonderful person that last week, Eva, Liz was actually due to join us. But at the very sort of last minute, we were invited to do the Countryside Live package, and I sent an email, but just a couple of hours ago, about 7 a.m. in the morning. She responds, and no worries. You know, that's a round of applause. Well done, Elizabeth Ato. That's marvellous.
Thank you, everybody.
Excellent. And I take it you'll return in the near future?
Yes, of course.
Yay!
Operator, or could you help me place this call? See, the number on the matchbook is old and faded.
You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM, guaranteed to keep you safe from giant lizards.
It's very true, isn't that right, Graham Harper? listen to the show?
It certainly is.
Always safe from giant lizards. We know they invade Acton on a regular basis. Never mind. Welcome back, Graham. How are you? How's life? Are we all set for doing the Graham Harper Masterclass on Dark Star, which, of course, will fulfil our new science fiction launch themed programme of productions and classic films at the MTech in the University of Lincoln campus, which starts off on November the 4th. And, of course, accompanying the whole thing, the first one will be Logan's Run. Then we move into probably Metropolis. Then likely to be Things to Come. And, of course, your own personal favourite, given that 2001 A Space Odyssey was already nabbed by Phil Leonis, our ace director in Los Angeles. You're going to be sharing some thoughts with me about Dark Star.
Yes, absolutely. It's a film that I think has kind of lost its way, but I don't think people think of Dark Star anymore.
With that beach ball, with those sort of arms and such?
Yeah. But I think it's been forgotten slightly, yeah. And it's a terrific film.
And that's one of the reasons why it's part of our science fiction film masterclass, and also, as I say, the podcast companion, which you, dear listener, will be able to download as well. You can also accompany that, say, about 45 minutes or thereabouts, is sort of sharing the shooting the breeze from a professional filmmaker and their thoughts on what, of course, John Carpenter was up and about. Do you remember Dave Kenyon, Graham Harper?
I do, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I know you've always never managed to get the script that he asked for a few years ago, but that's all right. Don't worry, he's forgiven you now. He's moved on to other things. That's
he's a terrible wind-up merchant, isn't he, Graham? I don't
know. Are you there?
I am. Lovely to speak to you again,
lovely.
Graham.
Listen, I know I'm embarrassed, but I'm still happy. It's so nice to talk to you.
You're always happy, Graham.
And that's why he's one of Disney's finest directors. Yes.
Absolutely.
I don't think they even know who I am.
Well, we'll have to inform the Mouse House straight away if they haven't already sussed the whole thing. How long do we have to wait before the latest Disney Graham Harper opus actually emerges? And what's it called and what do we look out for?
I can only tell you it's called Evermore. The Evermore Chronicles, that's all I can tell you.
Okay, that's fine.
I have just sworn, I must tell you, I had to sign an affidavit to say that I've got rid of everything to do with Evermore. I mean, I'm sure I can say Evermore, but that's about all I can do. It's really, really extraordinary. So they really are protective and litigious, I suppose.
You don't become a global empire which looks after Marvel Comics and all the Disney characters without actually making people sign their agreements, etc. But we will mention once again the Evermore Chronicles. That's the thing that'll be coming up, and once it launches, whoa, fantastic stuff! It's brilliant.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be known. It'll be on the Disney Channel in February, I think.
Yeah. There we are. See. And astonishingly, take a bit of time out, because normally, as you say, Graham, he's always doing all sorts of other bits and pieces, from there to Coronation Street to Casualty to Hollyoaks and so on and so forth. But just chilling, shooting the breeze, that's the important thing.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Yeah.
Dave, any questions you want to put to the Harpermeister?
Well, it's great to talk to you again, Graham. You're well, I hope.
I am. I've got a bit of a cough and cold, so, and being an old git, I suppose that's not a very good thing to have, but. But apart from that, I'm absolutely smashing, yeah.
Yeah, well, rum and milk, I'm told, is good for you.
Oh, okay.
And it tastes
together.
Good, too. Yes, yes.
Oh, God.
Apparently, as a hot toddy in the evening, helps you get off to sleep, and it's good for you, apparently.
I'll do that. Thank you. That'll be a pleasure, won't it?
I certainly like it, yes.
It's a bit of product endorsement from the Foundation, Abul Foundation. Founder.
Well, I don't know. Rum's not a brand.
Oh, there'll be a whole range of things. Like, oh, my word. Already we're getting the Disney company calling us now to actually say, what the heck's going on? Take it off the whole thing now. Get it sorted out. Eva. Any thoughts from yourself about life, the universe, or indeed, I mean, as you know, Graham might be joining us countryside. Actually, he probably won't be joining us countryside life. He might join us for the Hallow Scream, because, I mean, do you think he should come up and join us at the York Maze Hallow Scream event?
Yes, I was just thinking about it, actually. Yeah. Graham, what do you think of the Hallow Scream event? Have you ever been before?
Say it again.
Have you ever been to the Hallow Scream event before?
Yes.
I think it's in Yorkshire?
No. I'm thinking of the one in Lincoln.
Is it Harrogate?
It is Harrogate. Yes. The short answer is, no, he's never been to Hallow Scream.
No, never have. I thought you meant the... So something that was happening in Lincoln once before. No, one day,
and maybe if Bernadette is up for it, you should actually say, Bernadette, do you fancy joining the Midweek Drive Et team at Harrogate a week on Saturday for Hallow Scream? And she might say yes, or oui, in the case of Bernadette, or no, or non, also in the case of Bernadette. She's French.
Could be.
I just thought I'd bother that then. Coming up, William Sitwell will be with us. Katie Grimason has just sent in a text to actually sort of wish us all the very best and to say hi to William, and of course your good self from Katie Grimason. So well done, Katie. She's obviously forgotten yourself, Dave, but never mind. It's all part and parcel of the whole thing. She's in Birmingham. It's the way forward. Graham, any other sort of thoughts? Because we were just still coming to terms with Arthur McKenzie, who at 76 years of age, by the way, he said, send his best wishes to you, is currently doing roofing. You know, he's doing roofing on a very high height and he's sort of sorting out his roof.
I think he's finished his roofing.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope he has.
3 days he was up there,
Three days sorting his roof out, etc. I mean, that's an inspiration to us all, isn't it, Graham?
It certainly is. No, I think he is anyway. He's such a nice bloke. He's a very, very nice man with a good heart.
Exactly. And that's what you need, certainly, to cope with the disaster of the Rugby World Cup. But never mind. As I say, Graham, we know you're not really following the lozenge-shaped ball. It's just one of those things we've had to come to terms with, really. Never mind.
There was a lot of diddums about England not doing very well, but it's a game. I don't know. It's a game and there's not that much money in it anymore, is there? I don't know. It's not like football. So I don't understand why they were all kind of... I just thought they were all blooming wimps.
I think there's a lot more money than there used to be, Graham. In my day...
That's the only reason they should be miserable, because it's a game. And they lost to Australia.
And Wales.
So what? Get on with it.
And Wales.
That hurts even more than
exactly,
the city comes in the corner. I just think it's ridiculous. They're wonderful. Welsh are great players of rugby. You should respect that.
And let's face it, without Wales, no Russell T Davis, no Doctor Who. Reboot. So there we are. It's sort of...
well, he might be a different nationality, I expect. I think Russell would have existed whatever happened.
Do you think so? Well, no, I think Wales and Russell T Davis go together like chalk and blackboards or whiteboards.
Yes.
Anyway, so it goes. Or no boards at all. Graham, it's been quite a surreal little number from our point of view. We're going over to William Sitwell shortly, who was making a speech recently, as he frequently does. Also wants to plug Mr. Fogg's Tavern on St. Martin's Lane, which is very good. So if you fancy going into St. Martin's Lane, Mr. Fogg's Tavern, apparently. Sounds very 18th century. Eva, would you like to put those last two questions to Graham in your own unique image? How many days before hopefully become Miss Teen UK?
What's the date today?
The date is now 15th. The 15th of October.
10 days,
Graham. 10 days, and she might move from being Miss Teen Lincoln to Miss Teen UK.
I hope so.
I wish you lots of I wish you lots of luck for that.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Graham has actually judged a contest before, have you not? We set you up for once when you actually were judging a Miss England contest, I believe. Was that in New York? Yeah, I thought you did.
Yes,
yeah.
I remember that very well. What was I doing there?
Because I thought you'd be good to actually deal with that, because we had yourself.
I loved it. I thought it was wonderful.
Miss
but
England.
I thought I was an odd selection.
And we had Daleks as well. What's not to appreciate? So what advice would you give Eva? I mean, what were you actually looking for from the contestants at that stage?
I thought it was really... It was someone who had some sense, who spoke well, and who had a good heart. And that's really what you're looking for, someone who's genuinely... not just out for themselves, but out to help people.
There we are. So that place is you, isn't it?
Yeah.
As recommended by Sarah Bullimore. Thank you. So, back to those last two questions.
Good luck, Eva.
Thank you very much. Have you had a splendid telephonic link with us today?
I have. I think I sound a bit pompous then, too. So I'll try and be unpompous now. Yes, never.
And hopefully we will be hearing again from you soon.
Thank you very much. You will.
Thank you.
Exactly. Yay.
Bye.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are under when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When
you're strange.
Strange. We're not sure that William Sitwell is actually in the country today. We'll check him out again. Give him another chance, of course. Echo and the Bunnymen, people are strange. But Katie Grimerson sent a sad emoticon face. Oh, such a sad emoji. So this isn't what I asked for. No, Katie, because I haven't actually read your whole text. Your whole text obviously said, could you play Years and Years with Shine? So that's the key thing. It's critical, Eva, as you appreciate that. You know, when people actually correspond from that point of view, which people can do, studio@sirenonline.co.uk or direct text, whatever, we play the right sort of thing. So
it is, yes.
Echo and the Bunnymen from Liverpool. Clearly not a great deal in common with respect to Birmingham folk, but never mind, that's the important thing. Before we try William Sitwell again, Dave, Echo and the Bunnymen, and Shine and Years and Years. Any of those float your boat? I mean, neither of them kind of go up on the roof, really.
No. Echo and the Bunnymen, yes. But unfortunately, it's all about 10 years after my musical brain sort of ground to a halt. It could cope with jazz, it could cope with rock, it could cope with 60s pop, etc. But when you got Indian New Wave, my head exploded.
We could, of course, play Years and Years by King, or indeed Years and Years, or Years and Years Singing King, or Years and Years of Desire. We have a choice of Years and Years that can actually go on. It's a band called Years and Years.
I've got King on my mobile phone.
Well, this is Shine, Years and Years, for Katie Grimerson and more.
I remember us alone, waiting for
you.
From the glass half full, glass half empty department, Years and Years with Shine. Good news there. It's what Katie Grimerson asked for. She received it. That's fantastic. From the more challenging news, William Sitwell not available. From the good news department, of course, Alan Stevens is in the Forest of Dean. Good morning, Alan Stevens.
Hiya.
Excellent.
Hello.
Genius in full force there. And slightly longer, actually, as opposed to the last few weeks where we've been squeezing you even tighter into seconds of material to actually go through to reflect on the whole series. Eva MacDonald, have you managed to see any more of the Peter Capaldi series so far?
No, I haven't. I'm sorry.
No. Okay. Dave Kenyon, somebody who kind of actually took the photographs of, I believe, John Leeson when he was actually K9 for Spotlight. The Spotlight
we've had this
directory.
Discussion
Not
before. No, it wasn't John Leeson.
Right.
It was the other K9 that you don't know about.
The other K9 that Alan Stevens will know about. Who was the other K9, Alan Stevens?
David.
It was David Brawley.
That's the one.
Ah, you see.
Yes.
That's why he's a Doctor Who scholar, you see, as he knows his David Brawley, who, of course, you took his photograph for the Spotlight casting.
I did, yes. And very nice it was, too. He was a nice man.
I never met him. He died, apparently, didn't he? He died a few years back.
I'm sure. I mean, he would be of an age.
You say, sure, I mean, we might not have, we might be sort of regenerated.
But
one of the K9s, not John Leeson, is no longer with us, or may not be.
John Leeson's with us.
Yeah, of course he is, there we are. The rumours of his demise are sadly exaggerated.
Killing him off, oh, good God.
It's with Dimensions on Tyne coming up with Derek Hamley as well. Who sends his best? Do you know, Alan, I'll share this with you before we go into Doctor Who. Last night, mystery voice for Sam Stone and David J. Howe on the programme, because they're both here, because we were doing a recording of the Stone tapes as well, so we brought them into the midweek drive. And they thought... Derek Hamley was actually Terry Molloy. I'll say that again. They thought Derek Hamley was actually Terry Molloy. Sam said she couldn't quite hear him through the headphones. I can't believe that. I mean, it's Siren 107.3 FM. I mean, challenges with the headphones. Good grief. But, you know, that was the shock. In the end, even though I gave lots and lots of clues, Derek had to pretty much say who he was.
Well, Molloy's very good at doing impersonations, isn't he?
Yeah, well, that's it. In fact, you know, David has gone off saying that, yes, in preparation for the upcoming wedding, obviously, of David.
Which you've now been uninvited from for humiliating them.
This is so true. They may not be listening this morning. I was so flattered, actually. I mean, I'm actually receiving any. I mean, I get very few invitations to weddings these days, but. No,
and me?
Yeah. and you introduced us together. I thought, that's outrageous. Yeah. It's just, what can we say, Alan? I mean,
I'm just a mere employee.
You could pretend to be me.
You don't want to go to your boss's party anyway, do you, really?
Well, this is very true. Well, he's a publisher. And we all appreciate By Your Command and the whole Battlestar Galactica opus, plus more. So.
I probably asked you to do one too many corrections.
Could be a, they don't forget, publishers, obviously. Never mind, we're waffling and we need
so
to
is that 9 pages of corrections I wanted on there?
It's
on Battlestar Galactica Volume 2, that's what's broken.
Clearly. 25 minutes.
I was crossed off the list on that one. My last correction is to the wedding list, he said.
Do you know that could be very true? And obviously with the podcast being available, who knows what could actually happen. However, it's 25 to 10 o'clock, 9.35 a.m. And what did you make of it? That's two two-parters we've actually had back-to-back.
Yeah.
What are the thoughts of the Stevens on Doctor Who, the current series?
Well, I'm a bit at a disadvantage because, unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to actually watch either episode back, let alone together. So whereas I last saw you, I had seen I spent time to watch the story the day before, because I had to go to the Forest of Dean. I haven't, so I've only seen it, you know, the first impressions, if you see what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought it was I liked it. I think the fact that they are now doing these stories as two-parters, it seems that the pace is much more even. I think, you know, it possibly, even if you're asked to do a two-part, you've got more time to spend on it than a one-part. I mean, possibly, you know, twice the time, isn't it?
Technically, it's the equivalent of the old four-part episodes, really.
It is, exactly right, yeah. Or the Colin Baker Series 22 45-minute episode stories, which were all... well, one of them was a six-parter, wasn't it? But they were all, you know, basically four-parters. So, yeah, I mean, basically what's happened is that the show has gone back to being how it used to be, and it took them 10 years to do it.
Well, you know, we have to go full circle to begin again.
You've got an older Doctor. Yep. You've got an older Doctor. You've got basically, you know, I keep saying basically, don't I? You've got a four-part story. Probably next day, yeah, probably by season 20, it will be in black and white, and there'll be a seven-part story at 25 minutes.
And that's the way forward. I was personally juxtaposing Mummy on the Orient Express with Vengeance on Varos recently. That's quite an interesting
thing. Really? What do you think about that one? Vengeance on Varos.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I can't get my head around that one.
One of Colin Baker's sort of better incarnations and pressing ones. But let's not just talk about
incarnations.
Better incarnations. Let's continue. Eva, we've probably sort of lost the general sort of listener at this stage, so let's keep it real. Alan, I don't think, has ever judged. Unlike Graham Harper, we've never invited Alan Stevens to judge Miss UK or Miss Teen UK either from that point. But he might be able to help with advice, because it's only a matter of 10 days, Alan, before Eva MacDonald is... What does it actually entail, Eva? I mean, what sort of things do you have to... Because you've done the kind of visiting of the homes and various other sort of factors, etc. What's the next stage you're
doing?
It's
just an interview and presenting yourself on stage. That's all there is to it, really.
There you are. An interview and presenting yourself on stage.
You've got to say, you know, what you would say, I wish for world peace, and I owe everything to my mother, my parents. That's what they used to say. I remember, I used to watch Miss World. Yeah. I mean, they stopped doing it, didn't they? Because they kind of think it's a bit...
well, this isn't quite Miss
dodgy.
World as yet, but it's Miss Teen UK.
No, it's a bit toned down because
exactly.
It's teen,
yeah,
so...
Yeah.
It's
a bit what?
Toned down because it's teen, it's... For teenagers, so it's
toned down.
Yes.
Toned down, yes.
So I thought we said pin dogged. I thought we were back to David Brierley again.
That could be a response, of course. You know, this Teen UK is a bit tin dogged these days.
A bit canine.
A bit canine. That could be the left field comment that just wins it for you, Eva. You know, forget our views and thoughts on freedom fighters. Just go down to the tin dog routine.
That's right.
Confuse them. Dave, move back to Boole and why Alan Stevens should probably consider writing an episode of Doctor Who which features George Boole, who I don't think has ever met the Doctor. So explain why Doctor Who, or the Doctor, let's face it, meeting George Boole would be a winner.
I think that could be fantastic because George Boole, who listeners who've been with us since the very beginning, I don't suppose there are many of them, will know that he's the 200-year-old mathematician who invented the way everything digital sort of thinks. And has been described as somebody who looks like President Lincoln, so tall and thin and cadaverous. And also, one of the writers about Boole thinks that Moriarty might have been modelled on George Boole. So I think he's a great person for the Doctor to meet. And you could go either way, really, because apparently he was a really nice guy. But on the other hand, you could portray him as this boffin who was into abstruse mathematics, because at the time, almost nobody in Lincoln, where he was born and brought up, could understand what he was on about, because he was just too brainy. So I think a story around a man obsessed with logic meeting the Doctor and some sort of problem for the world based on misunderstanding Boole's logic or something could be a real winner. But then I'd say that, wouldn't I? Because I'm just obsessed with poor old George.
Boole's logic. I kind of think I might be wrong here, and I'm sure Alex will jump in with his encyclopedia knowledge of Doctor Who and say, no, Alan. But I think he's been mentioned in Doctor Who in the classic series.
He might have been in
Tomb of the Cybermen.
Exactly so, Alan. You're perfectly correct there. In Tomb of the Cybermen, Boolean logic is actually mentioned.
There you go. 1967.
So bring him
appeared,
back.
But he has been referenced. Go.
Bring him back in his 200th year. Where's a bit late for that now?
Seriously, I think in the original series, when they might have done that. They might have had him in it. Or, you know, they certainly reference him. I'm not so sure if they would do it in the new show now. In the old series, there were stories which dealt with historical figures, but were quite obscure historical figures. They did one on the massacre of St. Bartholomew's Day, which involved a number of French aristocrats. Please do not ask me to remember who they are. But nowadays, they're a bit more commercial. So if they had a historical figure, it would be someone, you know, everyone knows, like Shakespeare or, you know...
Charles Dickens.
He was around at the same time as Babbage and Lovelace. So perhaps there could be some sort of trio. Perhaps they could have a band. You never know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I'm not writing this. I'd put him in. I'd put him in tomorrow, actually. In fact, I think someone who would really like... Would have done something like that if he'd remained on the show, is Christopher H. Bidmead, who was very into computers and mathematics and used to involve very complicated ideas concerning entropy. And
he brought us Logopolis and block transfer computation.
That's right. Well, that was all the idea that the underlying, the base code of the universe, wasn't it? There was maths was the key to everything, which apparently might be true. Haven't they? They worked out that we could all be living in a video game because everything is chaotic in the universe, but there does appear to be... you probably know more about it than me. You tell me about this theory.
The notion that we are living in a computer-generated hologram and, as Einstein said, mathematics is the universe in which God has written the whole life scenario. Anyway, so again, something else you might like to use for Miss Teen UK. Or maybe not.
Life is an illusion.
Well, Einstein tripped up a bit, didn't he? He was trying to create a all-encompassing theory. And
as the professor said in The Stones of Blood, physicists, they're always trying to change the world.
It's all string, anyway.
So, Dave, very briefly, let's get back to the Boole Foundation and this official opening for people who didn't catch this in the first part of the production. There is an unveiling of a plaque on November the 2nd, which records his major achievements. People don't need to book up. They simply can turn up, presumably.
But they can turn up. In a way, it's probably a really historical event. It's the sort of thing you might tell your grandchildren, I was there, because... this bloke, George, is probably the most important Lincolnshire bloke ever.
Lincolnshire bloke?
Well, Lincoln man. Black. I mean, he's up there with Sir Isaac Newton when it comes to Lincolnshire. But in actual the city of Lincoln, there's not really been anyone to touch him. And so that's quite important. And it's the first phase of a whole, hopefully... aligning the city of Lincoln with everything 21st century and digital, because we're hoping to, through public donations, we're hoping to have a a statue of Boole in the High Street, and we're hoping even to name that area after Boole, so that in perpetuity people think, yes, Lincoln, Roman place, medieval wonderfulness, but also 21st century hipster.
Lincoln Boole's. Eva, as a Lincoln native, does this fill you with pride, or is it a case of, I don't know what he's on about?
It's a bit of both, I would say.
There we are.
Very honest, yes.
Exactly.
Hey, Isaac Newton got name checked, didn't he, in the Planet 1978, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
And
the plaque in Quaker City.
We wouldn't have gravity without him. We'd just be floating around without Isaac.
Well, apparently, Doctor dropped an apple on his head to encourage him in his theory.
Which is all thanks to the Doctor. That's why the whole thing was developed. The plaque itself that's being unveiled on November 2nd, it's got a special border of three layers of Boolean symbols, the inner layer consisting of T's and F's, don't
you? Yes, trues and falses.
Okay.
Well, I think it's very interesting, actually. I'm more and more...
outer ones and zeros.
Yep, the outer layer, ones and zeros.
And the middle layer is
Boolean gates.
Yes.
Yeah. So the Cybermen knew him then, didn't they?
They and or not nor and nand. In other words,
How could they have come up with Boolean logic if they hadn't actually met him though?
Well, there's a story in that, surely.
Yeah. So the Cybermen go to Nottingham. Is it Nottingham?
No, Lincoln. Oh, Lincoln. Nottingham at all. Oh,
they've
no.
been to Nottingham, haven't they? So I get confused with last season when they went to Nottingham.
Go to Nottingham, turn right.
They need to go to Lincoln, don't they? Because they went to Nottingham last year. Where are they going to next week? There, it's some Viking place. You know, where's that?
They York, are indeed.
I should imagine,
yes.
Yes,
they are in
where?
If it's a Viking place.
Yeah, York. Anglia, East Anglia.
And they've also got Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones guest starring in the next series.
They have. I'm starting to remember this story now. It was something about the bootstrap paradox, wasn't it?
Exactly.
So effectively, he found out various things that happened in the future and therefore did stuff in the past which matched those elements, so time wasn't contradicted. Whereas if he hadn't found out about it, he would have been killed, I suppose.
It's mind-expanding, but in a good way.
Yeah. It actually does make sense, I think. But it still doesn't explain...
just not today, that's all.
It still doesn't explain the River Song storyline. I was thinking to myself, actually, does it explain the River Song thing? Because in Season 6, you had the idea that the Kevorkian chapter took her and trained her up to kill the Doctor, and she ends up on a beach and in a spacesuit. And I thought, no, it still doesn't make any sense. Why would that happen?
Exactly.
So, no.
Okay, Eva.
You've lost me.
Time to pull the plug.
Yeah, it lost me.
Exactly. There we are. Go for it, Eva MacDonald.
Yes, Alan, have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, I did. Yes, thank you very much.
Mm, very, very informative, I thought.
Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And will we be hearing again from you soon?
I hope so, probably next Thursday.
Yay!
Baby face, don't grow so fast. Make a special wish that will always last. Rub this magic lantern. He will make your dreams come true.